Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. It is a minute past the hour, about a minute and a half past the hour. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that is where you go if you would like to engage in the multimedia, real-time, madcap, merry, zany, wacky extravaganza, free for the enjoying at the Horn chat room. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password. And you will, if you are a noob, or we just haven't seen you in a while, or in whatever configuration, whoever you are, you will be greeted by Anatole, Hoghead, Jugapunch, Richard, Steve from Georgistan, VT Blom, and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator on what must surely be a lovely Northern California day, has folded space to become Man Cave. No word on Donnie the Rat lately, so, okay, we're going to wait for the internet latency to catch up, hope for the best, and hope that the stream will be going. And we'll see if in fact it is. We're 2 minutes past the hour. And, you know, this gets a little... We'll just listen to the drum loop for a minute, shall we? I'm all loaded for bear, ready to roll, good to go. And Bupkis. We've been streaming merrily along. See, this is one of those moments where, we had Dr. Bill earlier today. Question in the chat room from Labor Man, server down? Don't know at all. Well, I'm going to try to see what I can do about this. Stand by. I'll be back. I'm just going to leave the recording going in case I would otherwise forget to restart it, okay? Thanks. Just in case, yeah, check. We're getting through. I feel like we ought to be waiting for a vote in the House of Representatives on C-SPAN or something. But we're 13 minutes into this Monday program, and apparently we are up and running now. Gotta admit, it's pretty. That's the one and only Andres Segovia, and you know when you want to be. Yeah. Okay. So the program is live. For those listening on the podcast, you have just experienced a delightful 11 minutes of silence. Sorry. Not gonna go in and edit that out. Y'all can just run it forward on the player. No offense, but I think the latter is easier than the former. It is the 27th day of March, 2017. I, of course, am Bob Kincaid. We've got a lovely little group in the chat room. Yay. And I will remind at the beginning of this here program that we try to raise $200 every evening. And this evening is no different, and all we have to do is raise $200. Yay. And that means there's no hole to fill in. Thank you. Thank you one very kindly, and to all of our subscribers, thank you very, very much. So we are running downhill to the end of March. Friday will be the 31st, and then fortunately April 1st will fall on a Saturday. And I don't think I'm going to leave the house, nor will I walk under any ladders or break any mirrors or nothing. No. So that's it. We've got 5 days of fundraising left, and we'll be good to go for the month of March. And that will mean we will have nudged the Norsky and licked the Lithuanian for another month. Hallelujah. And so with that in mind, staying up on fundraising is a big deal. So, you know, one at 200, two at 100, four at 50, eight at 25, 16 at 1250, 32 at 6 1/4, or 64 at $3.13. And we'll take that half a penny and round it up and put it toward Agnes's masseur's salary. Mm-hmm. This is, of course, and for those of you who use the U.S. Postal Service, I have to mention that, too. The mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. And if you'll send me an email letting me know to tell Boss Man Wayne to be on the lookout, I will do so, and he can leave the spider-proof gloves in the truck that he usually has to use. When he opens the mailbox and reaches in, and they're big, hairy spiders with sharp, nasty teeth. And all he'll have to take with him is, maybe a flashbang grenade in case he sees a member of the Klan. Because, of course, the Klan does business there at that same UPS store. Yeesh, the Klan. So I'm tickled pink that we're actually broadcasting. I wish we'd been broadcasting at the beginning of it, but you patiently waited, and I do appreciate it. And thanks to everybody who sent me emails to let me know that things weren't exactly working according to Hoyle. But we are now, and hope we will continue so to be. Happy birthday to our buddy Devin up in the quiet zone. Yeah. Happy birthday, Devin. I hope you passed a lovely day. This is, of course, also the birthday of the Doodle, our youngest. Happy birthday, Doodle, even though you're not listening. So, okay, the preliminaries are out of the way. There it is. Okay, yes. You didn't think I forgot, did you? Of course not. This here 27th day of March 2017 falls, of course, upon a Monday. And Mondays hereabouts, well, Mondays are for morons. Oh, there's Mr. Segovia some more. Let's send Mr. Segovia away. Okay. Bye, Andy. Okay. Mondays are for morons here. Oh, yes, yes, they absolutely are. And we will have heady matters of great affairs of state to deal with. But I don't know about you, but I find heady matters and great affairs of state a lot easier to cope with after a good belly laugh. Mm-hmm. Namely, and to wit, you know, the Moran Monday nominations. And I've got one right here, but let's do this right, shall we? Let's not just sort of wander into Moran Monday. No, let's do this right.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
And there we go. The dulcet tones of the Calliope calling you away from the Carnival Midway over here to this thin cybernetic veil of canvas behind which reside morons of all stripe. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed, yes, indeed. Behind this thin cybernetic veil, we've got them all. Birchers, Ninthers, Deathers, Tenthers, Booger Eaters, Baggers, Libertarians, Trumpanzees, Republicans, Right-Wingers, White-Wingers, Klansmen, Neo-Nazis, the entire panoply of the Republican base gathered all together here for you under the tent just a few steps off the Carnival Midway on Moran Monday. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, moms and dads, kiddies and cousins. You can't tell the morons without a program, and this is the program that tells the morons. You just can't tell them much. Oh, my goodness gracious. There's no bigger Moran bargain in the entire world than what you have here on Moran Monday. Less than 16 cents a program, last I checked, if, in fact, you subscribe to the Horn at the tiny, tiny, tiny price of only $10 per week in terms of a contribution. A monthly contribution of $10 per week works out to a contribution of about 15 to 16 cents per hour of programming all week long, every week of every year. Okie dokie, okie dokie. So as you head into the Moran Monday tent, my friends, my neighbors, as you head into the Moran Monday tent, remember, keep a close hand on wallets, purses, small children, animals on leashes, cats, dogs, the raptors that you use for falconry, and yes, even that tiny little iguana that you won throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls over on the Midway. Yes, indeed, they're all here, and they can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morons. and how I wish I were kidding. But oh, I am not. And I realize there's every possibility that you might have a nominee of your own. And here later in the program, the opportunity will arise for you to share that. You can share your Moran nominees as email, bobkincaid@gmail.com. You can share your Moran nominees as comments on Twitter, @bobkincaid. You can share your Moran nominees via phone here in about an hour or so, a half an hour or so. You can share your Moran nominees on Facebook. Just about everything but smoke signals, semaphores, and there's nothing to stop you from standing out on the back stoop and screaming, except for the fact that I may not hear you. The coal trucks get kind of loud going up the hill here. So there's that. But me, I've got a nominee, and I want to preface this nomination, if I may, by noting that this nomination may say more about me than the nominee. Because, and you can ask anyone in my family, after more than a decade of this, it's probably pretty obvious that I've got this thing about language. And yes, I mangle it myself from time to time. Especially during the hurly-burly of impromptu, ad hoc, ad lib conversation in which sometimes one simply masturbates a word into the overall coitus of conversation, whether one even fully understands the meaning of the word or not. I get that. But I am consumed by a fiery passion for the art of word knowing. And our children here can tell you that Dad can be known to be quite maddening about word usage. And some things will simply send me running out into the yard, barking mad, chewing on grass and running rabbits. Words like tookin, or descriptions of how one is going to have surgery for one's carpenter's tunnel syndrome, or that one has made preservations for an upcoming journey. It hurts to even talk about them. It does. And I don't know. I mean, I've never talked to a medical or psychological professional about it or anything. And I've never had testing along these lines, and nobody's ever offered me some medication I could use as a dart in the side of the neck, or a little patch behind my ear, or a nasal spray, or nothing to make this go away. And no, I was not taught language at gunpoint or anything. I just happened to have been taught early by smart people, mostly women, who were quite emphatic with the emphasis that they placed upon proper language usage, because as later radio per inquiry commercials would say, people judge you by how you speak. And the people who got hold of me and the likes of me were quite emphatic in pointing out that as Southerners, we would, as sure as God made little green apples and they'll give you the runs when you eat too many, we as Southerners would be more harshly judged for our accents in the wider world than anyone else from any other region of the country. And so, as the lyric from the song goes, I learned to talk like the man on the 6 o'clock news. In some places in the world, if you turned on your radio, I was the man on the 6 o'clock news. Well, thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, offering up the shorter version of all of this. Yeah, we get it, Bob. You know words. You've got the best words. No. Comrade Kumquat has the best words. But I say all this as prelude to the idea that this may not bother you at all. But ever since I heard the clip, it has been on me like poison ivy. Jesus! It makes me nuts. And, you know, this isn't quite on a par with correcting someone's grammar in a flame fest on, you know, some Facebook thread or internet comment. No. We're talking here about someone who has paid millions and millions and millions of dollars to engage and keep the rubes tuned in by sounding smart. And somewhere along the way, Jeanine Pirro, nay Ferris, somebody taught her that if she yells and speaks in a stentorian tone, that it will somehow convey something approximating authority or what? Trustworthiness, credibility. And this story, vapid and vacuous though it may be, just seemed to me like a good jumping off place for everything that might flow by, follow on from the rest of the program this evening. Because there was a whole bunch of weird surrounding this. Ah, well, thank you. There's another good word we can use. Randy in PA pointing out expertise, Bob. Very good. Expertise. Yes. Credibility and expertise and authority. So, at 10:41 a.m., because apparently Ivanka was nowhere around to take the crappy little Samsung Galaxy S3 unsecured, hackable in a minute phone away from her daddy. You know, the daddy who said he'd like to date his own daughter. Ew. Ew. Oh, there goes another gallon of brain bleach after the program. It was about 10:41 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the 25th of March, a Saturday, this past, when Comrade Kumquat got a hold of his phone and quickly twooped the following. Watch at Judge Jeanine on at Fox News tonight at 9 p.m. Okay, so first of all, what is the President of the United States doing promoting a for-profit broadcast medium? And two, unless he's just an every Saturday night regular kind of, I gotta watch Judge Jeanine. Yeah, Wapner, definitely Wapner. Wapner comes on at 3 o'clock. Of course, Wapner comes on at 3, definitely Wapner. Kind of guy. There had to have been some sort of a conversation between someone in the Trump White House and someone there at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and in particular the Justice Judge Jeanine program, or whatever they call it. I've never watched it. I've only seen it in clips, and that only after a sturdy Thorazine dart in the neck. And it followed on the total flame out and corkscrew into the ground of the Republican attempt to impose, you know, just a little bit more sadism on the working poor in this country and people trying to go to the doctor when they're sick and whatnot. And, you know, and just one more whopping big tax cut for the folks who breathe the really rarefied oxygen, you know, our betters, the 1%, the 1/10 of 1%. After a news cycle that said, well, you know, the president thinks the world and all of Paul Ryan, at which point the thought immediately arose, hey, Paulie, stay off small aircraft, all right? And so the world was told to watch Judge Jeanine and frankly, I can think of any number of things I would rather do than watch Judge Jeanine, like, ooh, I don't know, watch crabgrass overtake my front yard, watch, you know, a plantar wart grow on my index finger. Pick one. But I guess a lot of people did. And when they did, this is what they heard. Oh, hockey puck. Pretty please, hockey puck. Good bite, couple of strips of tape. Just saying.
Welcome to Justice, live tonight from our nation's capital. I'm Judge Jeanine Pirro. Thanks for being with us. My opening statement. Paul Ryan needs to step down as Speaker of the House.
I haven't heard a vocal delivery like that since Garrett Morris was doing a weekend update for the hearing impaired. And that's not just her. That's not just her opening. I don't. Is that how she talks in real life? Because I don't know. Honey, would you pass me the salt? Have you tried the cloverleaf rolls? Don't forget your proctologist appointment. Yeesh. And I used to say Mark Levin had a voice made for print. But okay, so I promise I'm not going to make you listen to a lot of this. But we're going to have to spend a little time with this. Just to get to the point where I start screaming, tearing at my clothing, and chewing grass and running rabbits naked in the yard. Agnes is standing before the door to prevent any of that from happening. You need not worry.
The reason? He failed to deliver the votes on his health care bill, the one trumpeted to repeal and replace Obamacare, the one that he had 7 years to work on, the one he hid under lock and key in the basement of Congress, the one that had to be pulled to prevent the embarrassment of not having enough votes to pass.
What is this vocal style? Where one emphasizes every second word of every sentence. Does this proud Phi Beta Kappa daughter of the University of Buffalo, is that what they're teaching in the speech communications department? Is that what they are teaching in the speech communications department at the University of Buffalo? This is almost a Monty Python sketch. Well, you know, you can always say to be or not to be, or to be or not to be, or to be or not to be. This won't take too long. We're almost there. The substance of this does not matter one iota. Remember, because we're talking about my madness.
But this bill didn't just fail. It failed when Republicans had the House, the Senate, the White House. And the timing? It failed within the first 70 days of President Donald Trump's administration. A president who made replacement of Obamacare the hallmark of his campaign.
Well, at least we know she can count. How many days, Janine? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You want a sugar cube? Hey, Jesus.
And then used valuable political capital to accomplish it.
Valuable political capital to accomplish. I got nothing. I presume that there are people measured probably in the tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, who actually tune this in regularly, not to mention the probably obvious white wing bump that she got from the free promo from the office of the President of the United States, which conduct used to be deemed unseemly and improper, if not outright illegal. I mean, God almighty, what was it? I know what it was. Do you remember, and it's not a terrible movie, do you remember the Sissy Spacek, Matthew McConaughey vehicle, Contact, based on the novel by Carl Sagan, about making first contact with an intelligent alien life form? It is a shameful admission on my part of the time that I have spent listening to what right-wing radio, but that was during a time when I was running up and down the road quite a bit, and you just get tired of classic hits or hot current hits for hot current people. And eventually you just wind up over on the AM band, and, well, you're screwed. But I remember when that movie came out, the right-wing bloviators had an absolute purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy. Kittens with crocheted tails. Over the fact that there was a carefully edited sequence in the film showing Bill Clinton at a press conference making it sound as though he were talking about the recent news that contact had been established with aliens via deep space radio. Yeah. Jodie Foster, not Sissy Spacek. I'm sorry. See, like I said, sometimes in the heat of ad lib. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve in New York. Yeah, Jodie Foster, not Sissy Spacek. Oh dear, Bob. Jodie Foster, not Sissy Spacek. Yeah, there will now be 19 more emails to Bob. And maybe even a Bob from Ron and Raleigh. Who knows? Randy, Jodie Foster. Mm-hmm. Oh, good call. Wait a minute. First cowbell of the evening goes to Scott in San Diego. I didn't make the connection immediately, but now that it has been made, it seems so obvious, and I feel like a complete dolt for not making it. She's obviously, Scott says, a graduate of the Ted Baxter Academy of Elocution. Yes. Meanwhile, Keith says, she sounds kind of like a head-to-head race between Judge Jeanine and Nancy Grace. They both have to almost scream to get their point across. I'd hate to be the sound guy on that program. Jodie Foster, Jodie Foster, Jodie Foster. Yes, not Sissy. Where did I get Sissy Spacek? Thank you. It's the forgiving nature of our community that makes it all worthwhile. Note coming in from Matt in San Francisco. No worries, Bob. I always get Meryl Streep and Glenn Close mixed up. Well, now I'm really screwed. I got four people to. Oh dear. All I know is it's so charming the way that Betty Davis sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow in The Wizard of Oz. How? Like I said, we gotta have a couple of giggles before we go into the serious shit, okay? Now that's just mean, Steve. Member of the fraternity of Steve in New York, Sissy Spacek looks like she should be from outer space. Now, why we gotta be that way, huh? But we're almost done with this clip, and I can move on, and this is kind of just like therapy for me, and I apologize. We're almost there. Don't spit out the hockey puck, because again, remember, this is about the art of word knowing. Shall we? Do let's.
You know, Americans elected the one man they believed could do it. A complete outsider. Someone beholden to no one but them.
And there it is. It blew past, and probably, unless you've got the kind of ear that just hears that kind of thing. And heaven help you if you do. Oh, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, asking, did you say that in an attempt to impress Sissy Spacek? Hi, Sissy! No, but there it was, at somewhere around the 125 mark. One more time, just one more time.
One man they believed could do it, a complete outsider, someone beholden to no one.
Someone, and it still hurts in case you're wondering, someone beholden to no one. Behold, lo, over yon Chevy Chase, beholding. And there stood the three magi as they looked down, beholding the young Christ child. Beholding. There's only one problem. It ain't the void. The void is beholden. Well, we now know that there is at least one more sufferer from it, because there it was, just popped right in there seconds ago. Michael and Madison, subject line: beholding. Body of email: beholding. Beholding, beholding to no one. And when you've got whatever it is that I've got, and you hear that, all your little brain synapses that deal with language go into sweat condition alpha trying to figure out if maybe that's how they say things at the University of Buffalo or something. Or if maybe that's the secret Phi Beta Kappa pronunciation of Beholden. But it's not. That's the way someone pronounces Beholden, who is extremely proud of having recently learned what to do with the shrimp fork. Beholding. Because she was afraid if she said beholden, we're speculating, but I think we're on pretty safe turf. You know, there are those people out there who can't finish that, you know, what's Jimmy Buffett singing that one song? I can't pronounce my R's or G's when I'm speaking Southernese. And the same thing applies, so there's this place in Massachusetts, out to the west of Boston, and it's spelled W-O-R-C-E-S-T-E-R. And if you're a noob there, and not from around there, and you say Worcester, and you pay attention to the fact that there's an R on the end of that word, and you don't not pronounce the R as though it had been murdered in its crib, Wista. No R's. Pepperidge Farm remembers. They'll go, oh, test. And they won't pronounce that R either. Or, How about the Van Halen hit, Runnin' with the Devil? It isn't running with the devil, it's runnin' with the devil. And so Judge Jeanine was trying to appear classy inside the authoritarian credibility bubble that she thinks she lives in. She is a strong and powerful independent woman who is beholding to no one. I don't even think you can use to behind beholding. I think you could use of, beholding of no one. Kitty and Baston knew exactly where I was going. Wista. Mm-hmm. And so she didn't want to sound like a rube. By saying beholden instead of behold. You get the idea. That's the one. Andy the Angry Jew pointing out, that would be Honeydew by Jimmy Buffett. Can't pronounce my ahs or g's when I'm speaking Southernese. But the same thing happens up east. Mama, you want me to carry you down to the grocery store? I'll be leaving in a minute. Leaving. Right. So because I've got this malady, which at least doesn't hurt, I had to run over to the damn dictionary. Beholden. I mean, it makes you wonder if Jeanine Pirro enjoys movies like, Gloria Swanson, Sunset Boulevard? Where at the end of the movie, poor William Holding is floating in the swimming pool. He was a great actor, that William Holding. Beholden. Adjective. Owing thanks or having a duty to someone in return for help or service. Used in a sentence as an example. I don't like to be beholden to anybody. Synonyms. Indebted. In someone's debt. Obligated. Under an obligation. Grateful. Owing a debt of gratitude. Wells was determined to be his own man, beholden to no one. But now in the Fox Style Manual it reads, beholding. Because classy. How about that, Emery? All these years we've been pronouncing it wrong. Who knew it was really beholding? And I will note that I checked out, and again, this is what happens to you with this damn disease. Or illness, or just the art of word knowing. I don't know. Maybe there's nothing wrong with me, and something terribly, horribly, god-awfully wrong with Judge Jeanine. Twit. I actually went and checked multiple dictionary definitions, because, you know, sometimes there's the alternative pronunciation. I was taught never to pronounce the T in often. But if you look it up, you'll find that apparently it is acceptable to say often as well. But there ain't no such for beholden. Chicks and ducks and geese better run when I take you out them to beholden. She thought it would sound redneck if she said beholden, and she wanted everyone to know just how proper her queenly English is. Damn. And frankly, it would be easy to lose something within the larger context of her declaration that Paul Ryan has to go. Why's that? Who does she want? Who does Jeanine Pirro want as Speaker of the House? Louis Gohmert? Steve Cantaloupe's King? Marsha Gedneth Blackburn? Well, in a word, probably yes. Any of the three would suit. I mean, I'm no Paul Ryan fan. But I was no John Boehner fan either. But after Friday, you can well imagine that John Boehner probably had the swirly straw in the 1.75 liter Jarrah goddamn Boehm of Merlot and was smoking a cigarette out of every orifice, both ears, both nostrils, five across the front, right. And just laughing uproariously. Because, of course, you know, they had the long knives out for him. And so it begs the question, does Donald Trump want rid of Paul Ryan? After all the wonderful, wonderful things that he said about him. Oh, God, there's another one of those that runs through me, Steve from Georgia Stan. Yes, there is a T in often, Bob, irregardless of what you say. Huh? So, I'll be better, but I had to share that and get it off my chest. Is there some other possible explanation Somebody else wrote it, and they wrote Beholden, and she corrected on the fly on the teleprompter? Or somebody else wrote it, and they're ignorant, and they wrote Beholding instead of Beholden because they wanted to make sure that they were typing good English, because it's an important Fox News Saturday night TV program? Carol Baker pointing out, the Pumpkin Fuhrer wasn't a guest on her program. Clearly, Judge Jeanine is his paid mouthpiece to go on television to blame Eddie Munster. He knew what she was going to say. If that orange fucker could blame more people for his personal failures, he'd have to grow an 11th finger. Wait a minute. The 11th finger, cowbell. Yeah, I know. Okay, somebody. Steve from Georgia Stan, you just wounded Ron in the far frozen, well, possibly someday thawing north. Ron, by the way, is back from 2 weeks in the sandbox. This is looking forward to enlightenment. I'm sending positive energy towards your recalcitrant server. Stick with it. The server seems to be behaving. But Ron notes, what's with this irregardless crap? No such word. By the way, there's no such sphincter tightening phase as the coach has the full confidence of the owners. Yeah, that's when you start packing your bags. That's what that phrase means. The full confidence. Partial confidence. 10% of the confidence. Right. So that, with a slight interruption from occasioned by server problems, that's pretty much the filibobster. If you would like to offer up a nominee, then feel free. Following up on the fact that, wait. The cowbells are beginning to fly pretty freely here. I thought of William Holding. Michael in Madison said, or how about that J.D. Salinger character, Holding Caulfield? Yes, Holding Caulfield. Hmm. Oh, and thanks very kindly to Rico in the Berg in Pittsburgh jumping in as a subscriber this evening and getting us started. We got $185 to go in fundraising now. Thank you. Thank you, Rico. Subject line, measure for measure. Note coming in from Steve, a member of the Fraternity of Steve. I hate the way a word acquires a new popularity until just about everyone is using it with something like a presumption of learning or specific knowledge. Remember when we used to gather information for the purpose of simple measurement, or speak of proper assessment, or maybe just a set of data, or appropriate evaluation, something along these lines? Or this one, we have, don't have, the metrics on that. Pure babble, this new category of metric. Not the metric system, or any legitimate technical use of the term. Seems we're always seeking for or evaluating or applying the proper or useful metric lately. Isn't the correct measurement of anything really a useful metric? One cannot discover one's shoe size, I guess, without considering the precise metric. Do you need to weigh someone's casual remark in a trivial situation? Be sure to apply the right metric. Life is now just chock full of metrics. People who can't otherwise count 11 cents in their pocket without the availability of a toe are now all about this ubiquitous entity. It rarely came up in any context not so many years ago. That's true, Steve, in China. That is absolutely true. And I'm guilty of it. I think sometimes we like to just say new things. Metrics is up there with, well, you know what, when they caught President Trump with his hand up his own daughter's skirt, the optics on that were not very good. Optics. And murder, some 38,000 of them outright. It wasn't very good. The optics on that weren't very good for the hardworking, economically anxious people who voted for Donald Trump. It's the clicheization of the English language. And it, I think along the way, you can also mark a diminution in the teaching of English. Or, and even philosophically, how we think about the presentation of ideas via words. I've noticed on Twitter that people now, even when they're not even addressing Marcus Aurelius on Twitter, will use that single word sentence. Baskin-Robbins was out of pistachio ice cream today. Sad. One syllable. And maybe that's a Twitter thing too, I don't know. Let's see, metrics, courtesy of Michael and Madison. My metrics is optics, although I don't hear it as much lately. It used to be ubiquitous on cable news, and you just mentioned it. Get out of my brain, Bob. You get out of mine first, Michael. Keith says, subject line, word knowing. I knew a woman that would, instead of saying Grand Old Opry, she would say Grand Old Opera. Grand Old Opera. Pronouncing distinctly each letter in grand and old and opera, as opposed to Grand Old Opry, which is what it is. Keith says, that one drove me nuts. Taking note of Carol's remark a moment ago, Randy in PA says, it would be a short, stubby 11th finger. I apparently struck a nerve by mentioning Wista, which can even be twisted into Wista. Randy says, having graduated from WPI, I know that the locals pronounce that Wista. Well, I can say all these things. Beholding to no one but you, the member of the Horn Family Community Congregation. Not beholding to Lumber Liquidators. Not beholding to General Steel. Not beholding to the Oric Vacuum Cleaner Company. Not beholding to some company that makes mattresses out of foam developed by NASA. Not beholding to some herbal supplement company that promises it will make hair grow on my head as though I were a recently pasted chia pet. I, Bob Kincaid, am beholding only to you for the maintenance of this little community. And so we'll take a break. If you want to get involved in the conversation, I highly encourage you so to do. We have three means, actually. Five, three. First of all, there's the stress line. Works for some, not for others. Seems to work for people when they need it to work for them. 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. Then there's the other number, 304-574-8178. And then there is Skype from anywhere on the planet. Skype to Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn. We'll take a break and be back. Pretty quick-like, probably. Let's see what y'all want to do tonight.
When I was a kid, Uncle Remus, he put me to bed with a picture of Stonewall Jackson above my head. Then Daddy came in to kiss his little man, with gin on his breath and a Bible in his hand. He talked about honor and things I should know. Then he'd stagger a little as he went out the door. I can still hear the soft southern winds in the live oak trees. And those Williams boys, they still mean a lot to me. Hank in Tennessee, I guess we're all gonna be what we're gonna be. So what do you do with good old boys like me? When nothing makes a sound in the night like the wind does, but you ain't afraid if you're washed in the blood like I was. Smell a cave jasmine through the window screen. John R. and the Wolfman kept me company by the light of the radio by my bed, with Thomas Wolfe whispering in my head. I can still hear the soft southern winds and the live oak trees. And those Williams boys, they still mean a lot to me. Hank in Tennessee, I guess we're all gonna be what we're gonna be. So what do you do with good old boys like me? When I was in school, I ran with a kid down the street, and I watched him burn himself up on bourbon and speed. But I was smarter than most, and I could choose. Learn to talk like the man on the 6 o'clock news. When I was 18, Lord, I hit the road. But it really doesn't matter how far I go. I can still hear the soft southern winds in the live oak trees. They still mean a lot to me. Hank in Tennessee, I guess we're all gonna be what we're gonna be. So what do you do with good old boys like me? Yeah, what do you do with good old boys like me?
Put them on the internet and let them start talking to people. That's what you do. It's 11 minutes past the hour. This is the Horn, More and Monday. And that, of course, incomparable Don Williams, good old boys like me, with a sufficient supply of brown liquor, that song will make me cry like a baby. I just love it. It's one of them. So, where do you want to go this evening? On Friday on the front porch, we discussed somewhat the murder, and here's another one of those language things. By the way, Robert in Australia says, metrics? Speaking of the metric system, when will America adopt it? Only three countries on the planet don't use it: the United States, Myanmar, and Liberia. Well, the funny thing is, it's largely used in the scientific community. It's just that you can't You can't get the American people to get off the, I guess, is it the imperial system? I mean, I remember for a few years during my youth, there was an attempt made on the highways. The sign would say, it would give the distance, say, to Elizabethtown, Kentucky, in from Versailles, Kentucky, in miles, and then beneath it would be in kilometers. And me, I admit a personal bias. Kilometers are just so short. You got to pile in so many more kilometers to get where you're going than you do miles. I mean, come on, it's a 500 mile trip, but it's over 1,000 kilometers. Fuck it, that many kilometers, I ain't going. I'll just stay home. On the other hand, I've always been kind of disposed toward kilograms. I weigh a lot less in kilograms than I do in pounds. And if you and Robert, no offense if you think I'm kidding, you just got to come over sometime. And like I mentioned in the last couple of weeks, my grandmother, even before she lost her mind to dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever, a woman who had been responsible for educating probably more people on this side of the river than any other human being before or since, you know, teaching them to read and write and doing their cipherins, was absolutely convinced that the metric system would require a change in how we told time and a change in the calendar. And given the fact that this was at a time when there was just not a hell of a lot of TV to be had here, and not much in the way of radio, and it was still a newspaper market, and no newspaper would ever, one hopes, publish something like that. And knowing her predilection for electronic TV preachers and their mad raving publications, you can only guess where she picked up the idea. Because along the way, it is worth mentioning, the evangelical crowd declared that America must never, ever, ever adopt the metric system, or else it would herald the end of days and the arrival of the Antichrist. I wish I was kidding. Well, that just makes my brain hurt thinking about it, Randy. Randy in PA says, you think that's bad? In a thermodynamics course, I had to convert liter atmospheres into foot-pounds. My grandmother could convert board feet in a minute. I still can't do it. Yeah, oh well. So, as I said, we talked a little bit on Friday on the front porch about the murder of 66-year-old Timothy Kaufman by James Harris Jackson. Timothy Kaufman was a black man, and James Harris Jackson is a 28-year-old proud racist, and he ran James Kaufman through with a sword. A 26-inch sword. because he wanted to murder black men whom he hated in what he described as the media capital of the world. And, of course, the White House has been as silent as a graven image on the story. So, today, someone in the intrepid White House press corps asked Sean Spicy, Cranky Spice, about the case. I hope you didn't put the hockey puck away.
Several topics. One,
shocker.
Don't be. You heard the question that I lobbed at the Attorney General about the hate crime that happened in New York.
Mm-hmm.
The white supremacists who went to New York and targeted a black man. Hate crimes are on the rise. What do you say? What is this White House saying about this obvious apparent hate crime?
I'm not going to, I mean, you yelled at the Attorney General a specific case, if I'm not correct.
In the past, you've talked about this, and you've talked about issues of hate crimes.
And I'm glad to talk about the issue. I just want to be very clear that I'm not going to reference any specific case before the DOJ right now. I will say that the President has recognized that we need to bring the country together. He wants to unite this country. He wants to bring people together. He had a very long conversation with respect to race in itself, which I think is somewhat, if I'm not correct in your question. Okay, I just want to be clear. Thank you. And I think that was one of the topics that he talked about with the CBC. Some of the issues with respect to crime and education and some of the solutions that they suggested that could be done during their meeting. And I think those are the kind of things that I think we can continue that conversation.
Okay, Sean. Unfortunately, there's been a rise in hate crimes when it comes to different groups, to include anti-Semitic crimes.
Yeah, and we...
you've commented from that podium. This is clear. This gentleman in his jailhouse gave a statement to a reporter talking about he wishes the man were younger and were... He was a thug that he killed. So what do you say to this? This is clear. It's racism at its ugliest.
Yeah. Two issues. Number one, I think hate crimes, anti-Semitic crimes of any nature should be called out in the most reprehensible way. There is no room for that in our country, and I think the president...
Time. Hate crimes. Did he say, and other things of that nature? Hang on.
Two issues. Number one, I think hate crimes, anti-Semitic crimes of any nature should be called out in the most reprehensible way.
Okay. I realize this guy, and let's not kid ourselves. Nobody wants to have a beer with Sean Spicer, okay? This is not a nice person. You can't be a nice person and do the job he does. You cannot be a nice person and say the things that he says. But, you know, his mother loves him. Maybe his kids love him. Who knows? But what the hell does that mean? Should be called out in the most reprehensible way? Isn't he saying that the criticism of the hate crime, in this case, the slaughter of a 66-year-old black man by a 28-year-old white supremacist? Isn't he saying that any condemnation of that crime should be done reprehensibly? Now, in my little career, I've cut a lot of tape. Back when we actually used razor blades on tape, and I've edited a lot of sound bites into, you know, 10, 15, 20 seconds, whatever. And I have heard, say, State Department spokespeople, and they usually use this mealy-mouthed tone of voice to, "We condemn the action in the strongest possible terms." And it was always kind of a running gag among us to say, well, no, not unless you're using those terms. You aren't condemning it in the strongest possible terms. If you want to condemn it in the strongest possible terms, use the strongest possible terms and to condemn it, and then you will have. And it's the way that government gobbledygook speak works. But this isn't that. This is Sean Spicer's little Kegel robe peeking out over the top of his dress shirt collar. Reprehensible, again, an adjective, deserving censure or condemnation. In other words, because the goddess of irony is a good goddess who is always on the job, and because Dr. Freud does more than chew that cigar, what Sean Spicer actually said is that any condemnation of the slaughter of Mr. Kaufman by a 28-year-old white supremacist named James Jackson, any condemnation of that would be deserving censure or condemnation. See how it works? These people are racists. These people are bigots. These people are xenophobes, misogynists. And because there is a sort of struggle going on inside their minds, and they know who their goddamn base is, they have to be extra double plus certain that they're not going to piss off the Grand Kegel out in Busted Knuckle by saying that it was wrong for the 28-year-old white supremacist to run the 66-year-old black man through with a sword. Words, as Rush Limbaugh screamed throughout the latter part of the 1990s, mean things. And when Sean Spicer says that any condemnation of James Harris Jackson should be reprehensible, he's talking about the condemnation and not James Harris Jackson. Because art of word knowing. So now that we know that he can't work up a good angry over this, well, what else?
There is no room for that in our country, and I think the president noted that in the joint address, that there is one issue that, despite policy, should unite us, and that is calling out hate, that is calling out divisiveness based on the color of one's skin, one's religion, one's gender. The president's been very clear on that, and he's called it out before. He's, with respect to certain particular situations, he made it very clear at the opening of his joint address. That's what he led with.
We are now 2 minutes and 18 seconds into a 4 minute and 13 second clip. And all Nasty Spice had to say was, the White House condemns in the strongest possible terms this apparent hate crime. But even the phrase hate crime drives the white wing into paroxysms of fury. Because they don't believe in hate crimes. Every time hate crime legislation comes up anywhere in the United States, there will be a white winger to stand up in some legislative body and say, well, it looks to me like we're now engaging in thought crimes, ain't we? We're going to start punishing people for how they thought? Huh? Is that what we're doing? Are we going to charge the Negroes with hate crimes for all their white-on-black crime? Are we going to do that? I don't think so. You can set a watch by it. Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve, this one in New York. Sorry to beat around the bush, Bob, but fuck him. Mm-mm. Nope, you can't make me. And I wouldn't with yours, Steve. So, yeah, there we go. By the way, upon further interviews, 28-year-old James Harris Jackson went on to say that he killed Timothy Kaufman for what he did, for what he described as the rush. He got a charge out of it. He got a thrill out of it. And Kleagle Spicy can't just condemn the conduct because there are far too many Trump voters out there who voted for Trump specifically as a matter of race hatred and their own support for a broader, more racist administration of government in this country.
Call to denounce hate no matter where we come from politically. He's also talked about it the night that he took the stage on that Wednesday morning around 2:40 a.m. about how one of the things that he needed to do and wanted to do as president was unite all Americans. But
Bullshit. You were asked specifically about this particular case, and now we're at 2:34 and you still haven't gotten to it.
I think that there's one other piece to this, April, that I just want to be clear on. While we unequivocally, no question about it, need to call out hate, anti-Semitism, where it exists.
Need to. Hasn't yet. Not in this context. Need to. Something to be done in the future. Need to call out. And in, you know, the infinitive version.
There is another thing that we have to do. And in your case in particular, while I don't know all of the details and I don't want to reference any specific case, but I think we saw this the other day with some of the anti-Semitic behavior that was going out with respect to people of the Jewish faith, is that
anti-Semitic behavior going out toward people of the Jewish faith. This guy is so pretzeled up in his need to keep the Obersturmbannführers of the neo-Nazis in line that he comes anti-Semitic behavior to people of the Jewish faith. I mean, I'm guessing anti-Semitic behavior toward like Southern Baptists isn't even a thing. Never mind.
We saw these threats coming into Jewish community centers, and there was an immediate jump to criticize folks on the right and to denounce us, denounce people on the right and ask them to condemn them. And it turns out that, in fact, it wasn't someone on the right. And it was the president from the get-go had said, I bet you it's not someone, and he was right. And yet, I understand that. And that's,
I'm saying he's a white supremacist.
I understand that, and I think in those cases, there's no question, black and white, we need to call out all instances of this. But that being said, while we're on the topic,
notice how black comes out first? Black and white? And notice how Trump apparently predicted that the threats to the Jewish community centers weren't being done by his voters. And again, this is another fig leaf they hide behind now, because on the one hand, one of the people doing apparently doing the threats against the Jewish community centers was an Israeli dude, and the other is someone who has been described as a left-wing black journalist. This, however, does not change the fact that there is a broad and sweeping and larger than most people suspect coalition of white supremacists, neo-Nazis, skinheads, etc., inside the Trump coalition. But Whitey Spice isn't having any of that. 329 out of 413, and we still do not have any condemnation of this particular crime in that particular city committed against an innocent particular man by the name of Timothy Kaufman, who was murdered for one reason and one reason only, because he was black.
I do think that there has been a rush to judgment in a lot of other cases when it comes to, in particular, some of the anti-Semitic discussion, where people have jumped to the conclusion about denouncing people on the right and asking for this. And in that particular case, we saw that the president was right and that this rush to judgment by a lot of folks on the left was wrong, and none of them have been held to account on that. And that.
Excuse me? The problem here is that the one does not negate the other. They're not going to find out that James Harris Jackson is a squirrely Israeli who's off his meds, or that he's a left-wing black journalist. And every incident of anti-Semitism, racism, misogyny, xenophobia. I mean, what? Were all of those kids, all those white kids in Cancun that were chanting, build that wall, build that wall, were they all left-wing black journalists and squirrely Israelis off their meds? Is that it? Because that's the argument that Spicy here is making. And honest to God, a freshman philosophy professor wouldn't tolerate it. He's basically arguing that if he buys kippers, it won't rain, or that trout live in trees. You know that bit, I'm sure. And along the way, and the person by the way doing the questioning was April Ryan, Washington bureau chief for the American Urban Radio Networks. The woman that Donald Trump asked if she would be so kind as to set up a meeting between he, Trump, and those Negroes in the Congressional Black Caucus. Yeah. You heard the question she asked. Nowhere in that question was there anything about condemning James Harris Jackson for being a member of the Klan or neo-Nazi or skinhead or anything like that. But that, of course, is exactly where Spicy went. this is an administration that cannot deal with the race problems that continue to plague our country. And plague, indeed, they do. This weekend, a high school in Phoenix, Arizona, Pinnacle High School, was spray-painted with graffiti. Swastikas, various racist messages, all painted on the broad blank space that is the exterior wall of the auditorium and a nearby pillar. Phoenix Police's Force Bias Crime Unit, or Bias Crime Unit, because we can't call it a hate crime. It's bias. It's just bias. Phoenix PD Bias Unit is investigating. The Paradise Valley Unified School District issued a statement saying, PV Schools does not tolerate this type of behavior. We were notified this morning that Pinnacle High School was vandalized with racist symbolism and wording. The Phoenix Police Department was immediately contacted, and our facilities department is on site cleaning up the vandalism. Okay. Does not tolerate this type of behavior. We shall see if they should manage to actually find out who did the painting. We shall see if they tolerate that type of behavior. The Anti-Defamation League chimed in and said, ADL finds this vandalism disturbing. That from Carlos Galindo Elvira, who's the regional director of the ADL in Arizona, speaking to NBC 12 News. We find the language to be racially charged, the use of a hate symbol to be inappropriate, and certainly the language that was used to denote African Americans truly disturbing. This was only one of a number of graffiti acts over the course of the weekend. At least three communities in North Carolina, in Gastonia and Clover, got swastika'd and KKK'd. In Fall River, Massachusetts, police reported a swastika painted on the door to an apartment. But to hear See No Evil Spice tell it, these were all done by a loopy Israeli off his meds and a black left-wing journalist. And over there at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, Emery and Marbling are sitting there in their matching Barca loungers viewing. And yep. Them black left-wing journalists will do it every time, Marbling, every time. And there'll be more. And while the spray painting is disgusting and unnerving and for some people terrifying, it's the fact that there will be more James Harris Jacksons. And for the more James Harris Jacksons, there will be more Timothy Kaufmans. I'm sure he's being hailed as a hero in caverns and neo-Nazi meetings all over the country. Hey, fun history fact. Earlier this evening, I mentioned Worcester, Massachusetts. Here's a fun fact. In the 1920s, at the height of the power of the Ku Klux Klan, they held a Klan rally in Worcester. And they got crowds, they got a crowd of up to 15,000 people to their Klan rally there. It was the largest Klan rally and remains to this day the largest Klan rally in the history of New England. After the Klan rally, however, even though the Klan had hired some 400 thugs to guard them, the people who lived in the city smashed in Klan car windshields, burnt Klan cars, beat the hell out of Klansmen, set them running, set them to flight, made it clear to them not to let the sun set on their racist asses in Worcester, in Worcester ever again. And there was never another Klan rally held in Worcester. By God, I think if I were the city fathers and mothers there, I'd put that on the welcome sign. We beat the shit out of the Klan. Don't come back. Because, well, maybe there's an argument that that's how you deal with the Klan. But of course, if you were to ask Cyclops Spice there, he'd tell you, we can't comment on anything that's that might piss off our white wing base. Subject line tangentially coming from Ron in Raleigh. Did you hear that Bibi Netanyahu said that with Donald Trump that they could make substantial headway in the Palestinian-Israeli peace talks? This I want to see. Yeah, things aren't going so well between Bibi and Comrade Kumquat these days. Of course, Bibi's got problems at home, too, being how he's under investigation. In fact, when he was being questioned by Israeli police a few weeks ago, he had to... this is a true story. He had to take a pause in the interrogation by Israeli police so he could go and take a call from Donald Trump. Bibi, is this the time you wanted me to call? It's kind of early here. I mean, but you said it did call and ring once and hang up and then call again? No, that... Yeah, it really happened. Oh, I missed that one. Brother Deacon Asa asking, speaking of the art of word knowing, did you catch the reporter asking Scary Spice about the white supremacist? Insert swirly straw here. Missed that one. Oh, and there is there's another word, and I even see this in print now, and it makes me a little crazy. Tell me if I'm wrong. Maybe there's two words. I see it spelled predominately. Predominantly. I've always thought the word was predominantly. One more N. No extra E. That that seems to be popping up more and more and more predominantly. It'll probably be the real word soon. Oof. Hey, little news from here around home. Just because maybe you're not as likely to get it anywhere else. You know how Cole's dead, right? And you know how that Trump's going to bring back the coal industry. Well, he's started. You may recall that back in late January, they gutted the stream protection rule. That was a start. Now, there's a move afoot by the Trump regime, the Department of Interior. This past Thursday, the Department of Interior filed pleadings in court to repeal the Office of Natural Resources valuation rule. The valuation rule applies to royalties paid for the extraction of things like coal on federal lands, you know, lands belonging to we, the people. So those royalties that went to schools and roads, various local projects, and requesting a stay of the rule, that was one of the darling issues to Ryan Zinke, who has also cashed a number of checks from the coal, oil, and gas industries. I mean, after all, why shouldn't we let coal companies mine on the cheap on federal lands, public lands, lands belonging to us? Don't we owe it to the coal industry? Our hard working machines, because there ain't very many miners involved when you get right down to it. Not hardly. And then, as I said, locally, a little something happened here of late. It was last week. It was Saturday. Well, it was last week. You know, I've talked from time to time. This event actually happened on Thursday. I've talked from time to time about the more than 100 coal slurry impoundments. Another way of saying that is seas of toxic coal waste. Sometimes these impoundments will hold back millions, sometimes billions of gallons. Well, we had a little thing. And by little thing, I mean that more than 5,000 gallons of toxic coal waste got loose from an impoundment in Boone County, West Virginia, and rapidly found its way, where else, but into a tributary of the Coal River. It was just a little toxic waste disaster. Maximum flow of about 30 gallons per minute for about, 3 hours. Admiral Processing Operation near Paytona, West Virginia. Inspectors believe the slurry leaked from a half-inch wide hole in a 90-degree elbow joint. Half-inch wide hole in a 90-degree elbow joint in a pipe how big? The amount of slurry that leaked into a containment pond and then into Crooked Run has not been determined. Crooked Run flows into Draughty Creek, which then flows into the Coal River, which then flows into the Kanawha River. A second coal slurry leak at the site is also being investigated. Inspectors with the Division of Mining and Reclamation said the incident occurred about 5:45 p.m. when contaminated water, it's just contaminated, it's not poisoned, the release set a pump backfilled because of a valve failure. Water intakes in St. Albans, West Virginia, and Lincoln County, West Virginia, had to close their intakes for a time. Accidents happen. I mean, we can't be running around talking about regulating the coal industry. Where was the hard-working coal miner who should have known that there was a half-inch hole in a 90-degree elbow joint of a pipe that was God knows how big? And just because I'm funny this way, when's the last time that elbow joint was inspected? How long does it take? This is one of those science and engineering questions that Snork is so good at. How long does it take for an elbow joint in a pipe that carries toxic coal waste, which may or may not be corrosive? I mean, hell, we just don't know. How could we know? I mean, you'd have to have regulations to know something like that, and we wouldn't want to put that kind of burden on the coal industry now, would we? But how long does it take for did some careless hunter accidentally shoot out a half inch hole? My God, that was a 10-gauge shotgun with a single slug. It'd tear your shoulder off just trying to shoot it. And you know, it's just a pipe. Like you've got pipes in your house. You know, half inch pipe. Oh, wait, it's a half inch hole. So I guess it has to be more than half inch pipe. And seeing as how there are probably millions, if not billions, of gallons of toxic coal waste in that sludge, in that sludge sea, I'm guessing it was more than an inch, probably more than 4 inch. It was probably a great goddamn big pipe that probably hadn't been inspected since Adam was a grade schooler. And then went on down and turned the stream black. I saw the photos. And somebody is forever, and I wish they would stop doing this because I care about them. Somebody is forever sticking their hand in the sludge and holding it up and taking a picture of it. That shit is poison. That shit is liquid, gooey cancer. Quit sticking your hand in it, please. Snork tells me in the chat room, think of slurry as liquid sandpaper. If it's pretty gritty, not long. It was probably 12 or 18-inch pipe. But remember, in Jim Justice's Department of West Virginia Department of Environmental Permitting, there will be no punishment for this. They will be the department will go and try to provide some sort of loving comfort and care and hand holding and head patting as coal executives worry about how much their profits will be impacted by having to take the time necessary to fix the hole that they didn't bother to keep from happening in the first place. And now we know how many holes it takes to fill the Albert Hall. It's a beautiful thing. But, you know, that's just another day in the sacrifice zone. Who gives a damn, right? Because we're making America great again. And America can't be great if we can't allow a few thousand gallons of toxic coal waste to flow into the occasional creek that flows into the occasional river that flows into the occasional water intake, you know, from time to time. Hey, look, I mean, we got the water systems warned in time that they could close their water intakes. The system works! So that. I felt like I probably needed to get that out there. By the way, if you want to follow the tweets of Coal River Mountain Watch, they are at Coal River MTN, at Coal River MTN. And there's some drone video up of the before and after of accelerating mountaintop removal. If you go to the feed, the timeline, or whatever we call it, on Twitter, at Coal River MTN. You might find it instructive. So here we are at the end of hour number two. We still have $185 in fundraising to do to keep on track to lick the Lithuanian and nudge the Norsky for as March comes to an end. We'll take a little break. And in the if you want to get involved in the program, if you want to engage in conversation, feel free. All you need to do is, you can call the stress line 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. You can reach the program at 304-574-8178, or Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet. Which really is kind of cool. Bob Kincaid Horn. BobKincaidHorn. Bob Kincaid Horn. So that or more and Monday Philibobster. Either way is fine by me. This is the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Won't you keep on shining on,
oh, black water, keep on.
I'd like to hear some funky Dixieland. Pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
I want a honky-tonk, honky-tonk, pretty mama, honky-tonk with you all night long.
I'd like to hear some funky Dixieland. Pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
I want a honky-tonk, honky-tonk, pretty mama, honky-tonk with you all night long.
I'd like to hear some funky Dixieland. Pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
I want a honky-tonk.
That was the special version of that song, in which our aging mixer pretty much minimized the two-part harmony kind of thing going on there. Sure hope you enjoyed it. It's about 6 minutes past the hour, and I want to send out thanks right now, right quick. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so very, very much. Thank you for helping with fundraising this evening. We got $160 to go to finish the evening. Thank you, Charlene, very kindly. So, you know, maybe that's reachable. 16 at 10, 10 at 16, 1 at 60, 2 at 80, 4 at 40, 8 at 20. 16 at 10? Yeah. Ooh, yeah. 32 at 5? 64 at 250? 128 at a buck and a quarter? Oh, yeah. hey, it's his birthday, so let's check in and see what's going on with Devin. Hey, Devin. Happy birthday.
Am I coming through good?
You're coming through. You might be a little low, but I can boost. You may have some
car for the course living in
the quiet zone,
an extraction zone.
Well, I was going to say you may have a little coal sludge in your microphone there. I'm not sure.
Well, maybe I can fix it. I'll just have to find the right place.
Well, that ain't
audio settings.
Oh, okay. No, you're good. You're good. You were.
Testing.
Are we reaching? Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So you've been out painting the mountains red for your birthday?
Nope. I tend to stay inside these days. Not of my own choosing.
Understandable.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Thus is the nature of being sick in West Virginia.
Yeah. Here's an aspirin. Good luck, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I heard your discussion on Friday about the healthcare system in West Virginia, and I just wanted to corroborate your assessment and experiences.
It's not encouraging, is it?
No. I mean, you know, as somebody who's in, mind-searing agony all the time for quite, several comorbidities,
Fun word. Fun. You get to learn all kinds of fun words when you're a sick hillbilly, don't you?
Yes. Yes. You know, got spine problems and fibromyalgia and probably some other autoimmune thing going on. Got bad guts. You'd like that one.
Yeah.
You know, like IBS or something. I haven't managed to get in to have my entrails read yet.
Well, depending on who's doing them and how, you might want to hold off, but I understand
I just had, just been going to so many appointments for other things. I haven't gotten to a
gastro-entrail reader. Yeah, you haven't gotten to a proper auger yet. I saw six crows flying south, and it looks like he's got some black bile going on, some poor humors, and look at him. He's got probably some demons involved.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, if they cut my guts out to read them, it would probably hurt less.
I've been kind of in that place, although I suspect not to the degree you're in, Devin. And I mean, it's heartbreaking around here. The idea that what little health care we have here, that sadistic, I mean, and the, you know, the best part, Looney Mooney, Shelley Moore Capito, Evan Jenkins, and Dave McKinley were all set to tell their very own constituents that they were far too fucking healthy.
Yep.
And they knew if it had come down to it, they knew they could get away with it because sick people have a hard time getting out to protest or lock themselves down to, office furniture.
Yeah, because, hey, if we go to Hillbilly Gitmo, I mean, we'll only survive maybe a day or two, and, then they can just wheel our corpse out of the jail,
Right, and remember, for instance, back during the Freedom disaster, when all that freedom got loose in the water, they did next to nothing at the Central Regional Jail down there south of Charleston. Oh, no, have another swig, son. Yeah. It'll be good for you.
Well, see, that was that was the controlled portion of the experiment. You know, they were the under controlled conditions, so they can later study them, because you know what happened to them while they were there.
Right, and seeing as how they'll have a rap sheet, you can always track them down later.
Exactly.
Yeah, somebody's liable to get a Nobel Prize out of this. In, like, organic chemistry, in involuntary organic chemistry. There you go.
Well, hey, at least it's organic.
But, I mean, I suspect people think I'm joking, Devin, when I say that we have a clinic here where one of the options is to have a physician's assistant lay hands on you and pray over you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When I go to the clinic, you know, where my primary, not a doc in a box, you know, basically looks at me and says, I can't help you, but, you know, I'll shovel these pills at you and not the fun kind.
Yeah, because we want you wide awake and fully alert for your misery. We don't want you nodding.
That's right.
Don't want you nodding while you're suffering. I mean, after all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ didn't have no goddamn opioids. He took it like a savior up there on the cross.
Yeah, but see, I go in there and there's Christian pop blaring through the PA system all the time.
Okay, you beat me.
And, religious shit plastered on all the walls.
It only took me 4 or 5 years, but I finally got them to where they've got HGTV on in my office. Or the Weather Channel. We finally got it away from Fox.
The TV, strangely enough, the TV is on NBC most of the time. But the... the sound system for the building is, Jesus,
Our God is an awesome God, Jesus.
Oh, please stop.
A little too close to real, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I start singing, what is that, Well, there's that one song they always had everybody sing, and they even taught it in, like, several languages. And it sounds really funny in German.
Not terrifying?
Something in the glute,
Oh, power in the blood?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's it. In their blood.
Yeah, but it was never pronounced correctly, The people who were teaching it, they didn't have a fucking clue what German was supposed to sound like. I mean,
and now, children, we're going to learn it in Swahili.
Oh, Swahili. But, it really is that bad. And, the horror stories that I hear from other people, like, people who have went to the ER for, pain, there have been cases literally of, just the people in the ER before they even, really check you out, they'll just stab you with Narcan. Even though there are no opiates in your system, and that can cause a heart attack and kill you.
Jesus.
Or just ruin your heart. Oh yeah.
Just for being unconscious.
Well, no. People who are wide fucking awake.
Whoa.
Who are saying, I have no opiates in my system. I do not consent to you giving me this.
Well, all you junkies, all you junkies are liars, whack.
Yeah. I mean, they do that to people here. And, now, I hear on the news, and it's literally every fucking day, the first story is, about these, these opiates and how we got to get rid of these opiates and, about all these pain management strategies is that, well, you know, we'll stick this box in you that, you know, shocks you and all this shit, and, you know, that'll just fix everybody.
We'll give you a nice dose of dose of voltage, and that'll teach you to complain about your pain, hillbilly.
That's right. That's right. That's how it works.
Wow, that hurt. No, it doesn't. Oh, I'm all better now. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, even though, you know, the parts that you have that are fucked up,
just so people can install it
on the parts that are fucked up.
Right. Just so people can know, because this goes way, way back to our early conversations, Devin, the things that afflict you, which are not to this day properly diagnosed, began with you working in a chemical lab, right?
Yes, I worked in a coal lab. I would pulverize coal down to submicron levels. I would make ultrafine particulates.
On purpose.
On purpose. And they, my employer provided me with a respirator with P1000 filters. Now, P1000, that's 1 micron. If the dust you're making is less than 1 micron, well, like, it may as well be a screen door.
Yeah, like 0.5 microns or 0.25 or 0.1. Yeah, you might as well be. Yeah, at that point, you might as well be putting it on your Wheaties.
Exactly. I mean, the stuff was so nasty. You know, I'd wear like T-shirts. And that stuff got inside the fibers, and all the fibers disintegrated. It shredded the fibers from within. You know, one day the T-shirt would just, you know, fall off. It'd just go, you know, poof, and just, you know, turned to.
And this was how many years ago?
Leaking out of the lint filter. 2003.
And the symptoms began when?
I really went downhill in 2011, but I was continuously declining, you know, basically from within months or a year of working there.
Right, and of course, since there's no data, there's no diagnosis, and no diagnosis, and you're not really sick, and it must be God's will.
Well, yeah, and the whole. Now, I won't blame the fibromyalgia type pain or the spine pain on the coal, because, you know, I had that before I worked there. I mean, I've been in really nasty pain, you know, as far back as I can remember, at least second grade. But, you know, I assume that everybody felt that way. You know,
nobody told you different.
I mean, you know, I mean, that's how my mother felt. You know, Dad's always been in pain, but, you know, his is hard labor. And
yeah, that's the kind of pain. That's the kind of pain West Virginians are just heir to, right? Get broke down and busted up doing hard labor, right?
And then when we try to, you know, apply for disability or something, when we can't, you know, possibly crawl to work, you know, when nobody wants us anymore, we, you know, get, well, you know, you got arms and legs, and so, you know, you're fine. Sorry for your inconvenience, but, you know.
I'll never forget the, what was it called? The manual. There's this book of every kind of job there is in the entire United States. and you'd have some poor broke down guy trying to get his disability, and inevitably this labor consultant, occupational specialist would show up and say, clearly this man is capable of full-time sedentary labor. He could be a mine guard, or he could work at a gas station. When they're having neither one of those jobs calls for you to sit on your ass for 8 hours. B, there hasn't been a Wally the gas station attendant job in West Virginia or pretty much anywhere else in this country since Mayberry RFD went off the air.
Yeah. You know, the only people who are working at the gas station is the one person who mans the register, stocks the shelves, goes out and sweeps the fucking parking lot, scrapes the snow off the sidewalk and all of this. And if they, within their 12-hour shift, so much as, step away to the commode, lose their job.
Exactly.
And I know plenty of cases of that.
Well, I mean, you know, going way back, that for a while there, I had a real predilection for gas station pizza when I was, just as an alternative to eating the ramen with the Flavor Boost packet. And so over the course of years, I've gotten neighborly with the folks who work in the Rippy Marts. And we call each other by name. We know who each other are, and we laugh, and we joke, and we kid around. But that is, I mean, that's a hell of a job.
Oh, it's horrible.
And paid next to nothing for it. And all the shit rolls down a very steep hill.
Yeah.
And it's like the story I told the other night about, and they'll bring somebody on and train them for one day and turn them loose by themselves the next.
Yep.
And so I was in there, I was getting some gas, a couple of packages of this or that, and the bottle of pop, whatever. And dude was working through the process of checking me out. And there was a cranky little old man standing next to me, doing everything but tapping his foot and giving great exhausted sighs, and it was raining and cold outside. And he said, I need you to turn my gas pump on. And the guy said, are you on three? And he said, I don't know which one I'm on. He said, well, I've already turned on three. And he turns on his heel and goes back out, and he's not on three. I watched him walk, and then he walked back in, and he says, hell with it. Ain't worth it. You're too damn slow. I'm leaving. At which point I'm thinking, well, that's a blessing to all of us. And I just happened to finish my transaction at that point. I walked out into the parking lot as he was stomping along, and I said, you know, a little patience and decency goes a long way in this life, Buster. What'd you say? I said, a little patience and decency goes a long way in this life, Buster. That's a hard job.
Yep, well, that's not how they say it. I mean, you know, if you don't have a pickaxe in your hand, well, hell, you're just a lazy bastard.
Well, yeah, I mean, because the only people doing any work worth talking about in West Virginia are struggling coal miners. And I say that kind of snidely.
Anybody who digs in the dirt.
But I don't.
Anybody who did, you know.
Yeah, but I don't mean to take away from them, but you know, they're not the only people here. I mean, I know people who work in that industry, and you know, like I watch how they work in the convenience stores. I know people who work in the restaurant industry. They work like devils. And they don't make much, money. And half the time, people are shitty to them.
You work at a restaurant around here, you make, you know, two something an hour because, you know, even if you work in the back, you don't get tips, but hey, you know, you get $2 an hour. And oh yeah, you know, we'll call you out, you know, to work, and you'll work like an hour or two and then we'll send you home.
So here's the question, Devin.
After you drove an hour to get there.
Yeah. So here's the question. What was supposed to happen? You know, there are more Walmart workers than there are coal miners. There's more nurses. There's more certified nursing assistants. There's probably more wait staff. There's more convenience store workers. There's more fast food workers than coal miners. What was supposed to happen to them after coal done come back? Was it going to be okay if you had 10,000 people making $65,000 a year, but everybody else was still screwed?
Well, apparently.
Because that's the part that I still can't sort out. If we can just make the coal miners happy, then everybody's going to be happy here. It's like the ad I see for, I guess it's Exxon running on the news channels. You know, for we're creating 120,000 good jobs here on the Gulf Coast, and for every one of those jobs, there'll be two more jobs. And I'm thinking, you know, you can bullshit other people, but you're not bullshitting me because I know you're talking about jobs in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. And yeah, you might pay the engineers something, but those two extra jobs that are getting created, those are minimum wage or sub-minimum wage jobs, and piss off.
Yeah. And then you've got, oh, well, fracking, brings all these jobs. Yeah. For people from Texas and Oklahoma who come here to do it.
Right. All right. So up there in the quiet zone where you are they fracking?
Oh, this place has been fracked to fuck. I mean, there for a while, you couldn't see the stars for the glow from all the flares. And, you know, one night, they flared one over, I don't know, probably 2-3 miles from here. And it just happened. The wind was blowing my direction. It dropped me to my knees when I was outside.
It just smelled like nothing but gas.
That's how. Well, it wasn't just gas. It was all kinds of shit.
Yeah, their proprietary blend of fluids.
Because when they were flaring, you know, there was a shitload of solids in that.
Oh, particulates.
So, well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's worse than a tire fire.
And maybe some of the
tar-far.
Tar far.
It's got to be a tar far.
Yeah, up here on the hill, they've got a far tar. We got a far tar. And that's Fartar Mountain. And, you know, you climb up in the Fartar to see the Tarfars.
Yeah.
I think we just lost about 99% of the audience, Devin, but you know, the ones we didn't know what we're talking about. And, you know, who knows, that stuff might have...
We know Ron knows what we're talking about.
Oh, Ron knows what we're talking about with the watching for Tarfars from the Fartar. But, you know, and along the way, probably had some of those polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons in what you were breathing. And that stuff is good and good for you.
Oh, I mean, you know, everything a growing boy needs to die.
Last one out of West Virginia, please turn out the lights.
Last one out, turn off the valve so it don't suck back any of the hydrocarbons, because you know you wouldn't want to lose a drop.
Well, I wonder how much that half inch hole in that pipe set back the profit making of that prep plant, don't you?
Maybe about $500.
Just like the Gong Show, $516.32, right?
Yep.
Damn.
Yep. That's how that goes.
Well, Devin, it's awful good to hear from you,
friend. It's so much fun, you know.
Oh, well, you know, it's just we're just up here in our little hillbilly paradise, aren't we? It is good to hear from you. And I hope you celebrate your birthday some way that makes you smile. I know they're few and far between and damned hard to come by.
Yeah. Well, you know, considering that, you know, like 2 months ago, I was in so bad a pain that I was like, you know, 5 minutes from killing myself. I mean, you know, that's the only thing that saved my life was a bottle of Luxusova. I managed to get drunk enough that I couldn't feel anything.
Medicinally applied.
Yes.
And so you and since it's tater smashing, you didn't have to worry about the grain being grown near Chernobyl.
Or the nasty allergy from corn. Because that's still in there.
Really?
Yeah. There's still essence of corn. Even after distillation.
Yeah, that's kind of like Snork warning me about natural flavors in fruit-flavored soda. That's grapefruit. And that'll light up more people, and as Snork pointed out, that'll light up more people than know they're being lit up.
Yeah. So, yeah, but we definitely actually need the pain pills here. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
we need tractor trailer loads of pain pills because you know everybody in this fucking state is broke down, just totally, you know, crippled. Even the people who are still working.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, people
keep working here that you know in pretty much any other state, you know, they would be on disability. But, you know, people here, you know, bootstraps and all make, you know, damn well sure that they keep going as long as they possibly can.
Well, and there's this other little thing to consider, too. Once they closed off the spigot on the pills, that's how you wind up with people ODing on the nasty-ass heroin cut with the bathtub fentanyl.
Yeah, well, carfentanil.
Oh, yeah, true.
Fentanyl. You got to remember carfentanil.
Yeah, that's what alligator. It's like alligator. Heroin. That's elephant heroin, right?
Yes, you use it on elephants. It comes from China.
That just blows my mind.
And then, oh my God, people are ODing, so, you know, we have to take away the pain pills when they're ODing on fucking dirty heroin because you took away the pain pills.
Yeah, I mean, the other side of that, though, I mean...
We can't even get medical weed passed here.
Nope, that's dead. That one's gone. Because we need the revenue from busting the potheads. Because the coal industry doesn't pay, and the coal industry and the fracking industry don't pay any damn taxes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, they keep getting rid of the severance taxes. So.
Well, we wouldn't want to make the executives cry. And by the way, in case you didn't notice, Don Blankenship's sojourn in hell is almost over, Devin.
Yeah, I heard he was in the halfway house now.
He's been moved to a halfway house in Arizona, which is halfway to his mansion in Las Vegas.
Well, and it's a nice place to be in the winter. You know, it's rather pleasant.
I mean, couldn't we have sent him to the federal facility in Sitka, Alaska, or something? I mean. Then again, that was probably warmer than West Virginia. So, you know, there you go.
Well, there's that too. somebody such as myself is, you know, basically exhausted all of his legal pain management options. You know, they even go to the people who get, you know, sticky with a needle for steroids, and you know, they say, you know, we can't help you. We can't even give you the shots. So, you know, bite a stick.
Here's a bullet. Bite on it. Right.
Yeah, well, you know, those start to look really appetizing. You know.
Well, without a doubt, I understand. I actually do.
Devin, and, you know, Remington fellatio is all the rage these days.
Along with Winchester,
you know, rimming your Remington, you know.
Yeah, along with Winchester head, right.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I know you got to go. So,
well, I appreciate you hollering in. I've enjoyed our conversation, and even under trying circumstances such as you have, the night we talked about the guy who got free lawyering because he didn't want to use the biometric scanner because it was going to send him to hell.
Oh fuck.
I walked away from the microphone that night with tears streaming down my face. I did. And obviously, I still think about it because I still laugh about it.
He worked for Consolidated.
Yeah, he worked for Consol. And
I've actually been to that mine. They were trying to train me to go get the samples. You know, they wanted to have me get my card so I could actually set foot outside of the truck and, you know, go get the samples, collect them. So, yeah, I've been to that mine. Not a particularly pleasant place to be. But I've been to worse mines than that.
Well, did they make you use the biometric scanner, and does that mean that you're a member of the Antichrist's army now when he comes back?
Well, they didn't have the bio scanner then.
Well, that's because that fellow spoke up for Jeebus. No.
Although the plastic coat hanger factory I worked at had a biometric hand scanning time clock, so I guess I am a member of the Legion of Doom.
Okay, yeah, you're a member of the Legion of Doom, no doubt about it. Well, you know, hail Satan, David.
Yep.
You have a good evening, my friend. Take care.
All right. Good night.
Bye now. From the Quiet Zone. That is the one and only Devin. It's about 19 minutes before the hour. Thank you to Paul and Ron. Thank you very kindly for helping us knock down the fundraising. We're down to about $80 to go. Thank you very kindly indeed. In line with healthcare, and if you want to get in on the conversation, well, let me check here. Let me see if we're going to have any luck with the stress line this evening. Oh, nope, gone. Okay. If you want to get in the conversation, jump right in, Skype to Skype or either of the numbers. But Mike in Cascadia. Directed my attention to a series of tweets. If you want to see it on Facebook, or on Twitter rather, the handle for the person who sent it is @KillerMartinis. If you scroll down my timeline, you'll probably see it there because I retweeted it. at Killer Martinis, a woman by the name of Linda Tirado, said, a few observations from rural Appalachian healthcare. Context, I can't afford private insurance, don't qualify for subsidy. I'm self-pay. I walk into the ER. I mean, and I share this because, you know, Devin wasn't kidding, and neither am I, when we talk about the vicissitudes that people face here. And this ain't fixed by a long shot. It ain't okay, the healthcare system. The health insurance industry is still the biggest problem that we face in trying to deliver healthcare to American citizens. You know, the guy that needs the 24-karat gold-plated doghouse for his toy poodle at Christmas time, that guy is the problem. But anyway, Linda Tirado writes 140 characters at a time. I walk into the ER. I think I've put my back out on a nail biter of a 12-hour drive trying to beat a blizzard home, then caught a bad flu. Can't keep Pepto down. Haven't kept water down in 2 days. I figure this is to emergency need a bag of saline levels. Reluctant, I go in. I'm already counting on this being $1,000 because ER visit. They get my symptoms, give me a CT scan. I watch the dollar signs spin, but, you know, sick. They tell me I need emergency surgery. Have to be transported, a county over. This has to be in an ambulance. I can't be driven by a friend. At the main hospital, first thing I do is refuse meds. I tell them I got enough at the last place. The RN looks at me and says, uninsured? Turns out this is so common around here, they've actually developed variant standards of care. One discusses price, one doesn't. This is super informal, and the vibe I got is enough people straight up refuse treatment that the staff knows to reassure self-payers. So my drugged ass starts to watch, because now I'm fascinated. Here's what rural hospitals are facing. There's a single surgeon on call. This woman is, one, badass, and two, has the stamina of 12 linebackers. Surgery and pre- and post-op for 7 patients, including me, that I see. There are so few RNs that I'm waiting hours for meds because it's clear other people are more acute and I'm not interrupting that flow. 3 nurses assistants. I hear them discussing their paychecks. I no longer wonder why they're not hopping too. Day, night, split shifts. Plus, they get paid little enough if they're working at all. It's out of a sense of charity and decency. I was appalled to hear the hourly. At some point, I say fuck it and let them give me drugs. With a CT scan and an ambulance plus full anesthesia, this is already a new car. On day 2, pre-op, I realize everyone's working 12 on, 12 off, unless they're on call on their off hours. And they're explaining pricing. Out of 6 patients I talked to, 3 were insured. Strategy of the uninsured and chronically ill. They say they're allergic to expensive drugs. They massively underreport their pain, and most of us who don't go to doctors are frankly used to pain, and our tolerance is high. One lady brought her own medical tape because last time they charged her $14 for it. I had to double-check I wasn't so stoned I misheard. One woman was angry with herself for being so weak as to let them bring her in. It was a choice between appendicitis and husband's meds. Her husband is diabetic, so for her it was a choice of whose life to risk. She didn't want it to be his. He didn't want it to be hers. If I learned all this in 2 days, and I'm the paying attention type to be sure, but still, I can't imagine what that staff hears. Brutal. I'm not saying I'm not grateful for all the people who've been able to find insurance. I'm saying, when you hear people hate ACA, it's this. I'm not the stupidest person on the block, but I can't figure out how a major overhaul has left so many people in these cracks. So I asked these folks, why aren't you on Obamacare, same as me? They didn't understand all this jargon, having never been insured before. Like, I didn't know that you can only buy health insurance on the third Tuesday of the full moon, and even then you must wear an orange hat. And now I'm post-op, back home, a bit early, because my doc said I was smart enough to take care of myself, even though she'd ideally keep me. Something about an elevated white blood cell count, which I frankly have no idea what to do with. It ain't worth another overnight charge. I'm reasonably uncertain. I've just spent 3 months' income, though I can't know until the bill shows up. Better ain't the same as good. And surely we live in a wealthy enough country, no elderly people should be picking between appendicitis and insulin. Me, I'm 34 and have a high pain tolerance. I'm now minus my gallbladder, which took 3 hours to remove and was the size of a potato. I'll take these antibiotics and enjoy these wildly overpriced ibuprofen, though it turns out I could have bought a bottle at Walmart for $5. But I don't think we should be resting on any fucking laurels about the miracles we hath wrought with this policy. It ain't enough yet. Quick programming note, I'm going to be fine, I'll negotiate hard, and it's not like I still work in fast food, just this was mind-blowing. All you helpful sorts, yes, I've tried buying insurance, and no, they will not shut up and take my money. It's not the right nanosecond. And for pedants, I don't qualify for subsidy as I earn a reasonable amount, but as my income varies, I can't guarantee I can cover monthly. Also, I had full anesthetic yesterday and got home from hospital 3 hours ago. Please be kind if I'm fuzzy. I don't have all your answers. I don't doubt a word of what she says, because it sounds like stuff that I am already too well familiar with. And what she says about only being able to buy insurance on a Tuesday without a Y in it during the dark of the moon while wearing an orange hat is the goddamn truth. So there's that, too. All right, 10 minutes before the hour, let's check in real quick with Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Hey, Todd.
Oh, Bob, how are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
Sound like you have... I'm all right. I'm good, man. I'm very good. I can't complain. Well, yes, yeah, a lie. No, everybody can complain. But that was a very good story you just read. That's
just a string of tweets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would ever have the focus to be able to do that 140 characters at a time.
Well, as far as the health care, I think that we maybe, well, our side, maybe we learned something about showing up and having at these town meetings. That's all we have is protest, and protest worked.
Yeah, it did. And along the way, having a substantial handful of grade A brass-bound assholes who wouldn't go along with their own party helped too. Because they're more...
Well,
I mean, imagine, the Freedom Caucus is actually more sadistic than the Republican Party at large.
Yeah.
I mean, that damn well says something, doesn't it?
Oh, I think this is so interesting what's going on now. See, their party's blowing up now. They do not budge. They don't give a damn. They don't want to compromise, and they've shown themselves for who they are. See, that's the thing. They've stood their ground. This is who they are. You know who they are. We know who they are. And you know, we didn't like the bill for different reasons. You know, we think, well, shit, this is, if we have to go through all this bullshit, we already have the infrastructure for delivery just expand Medicare, you know, universal health care. It's simple. Move on. But, you know, that's not the way they see things. And, you know, they're just fucking weirdos, man. I don't know what the hell's wrong with those people.
Well, I can't speak personally to what's wrong with them, but generally what's wrong with them is they have a lot of other people who have things wrong with them who send them to the goddamn Congress, because a lot of people who don't have things wrong with them stay the hell home.
Yeah, like Steve King's crew, you know.
I mean, the entire legislative majority of the state of West Virginia was put in office by something like 17% of the eligible voters, because nobody voted.
Well, they have to. You know how long they have to wait in line to get pain pills? Come on, it takes all day.
Well, I guess.
People fucking cut into their goddamn pain pill. Yeah, man, gotta have priorities.
And the hits just keep on coming. I've talked in the past about my state delegate, Tom Fast, the guy who went on television and said, "Ooh, Bruga Bruga, Barack Obama gives secret Muslim hand signs." That really happened.
Oh, that was the guy who did that?
Yeah, that was my member of the House of Delegates. Well, now we got another one representing me from Fayette County. Her name is Kayla Kessinger. And she introduced a bill that said that, among other things, that a little girl underage who had been raped by daddy needed to get daddy's permission to get an abortion.
All right. But obviously that woman is, you know, disturbed. And
no, she's a Christian. Oh. And it ain't the little fetus's fault. If it's going to be born and not know whether to call daddy uncle or uncle daddy or grandpa or daddy or cousin or what the f- ever.
There's so much wrong with that. It's not, you can't, there's nowhere to start.
I mean, and the bill's got a fighting chance.
See, how do we fix this? So much stupid going on, but you can't. I mean, you can't tell people, you know, you're just fucking stupid.
Well, it seems like a complicated question, but it's not. The normal people have got to quit sitting at home and got to get out and go vote. Because the only people who get worked up about voting are the people who get worked up in church. Or the little handful of progressives who get worked up on facts, while everybody else says, "Well, you know, it ain't got nothing to do with me. I ain't never gonna fuck my kid or nothing." I mean, who gives a shit?
Well, I got news for you. I have a bad feeling now. All these Russian ties, and all I'm saying is that there's a large faction in our military to the neo-Nazis. Now we have the neo-Nazi party in the White House. We have the neo-Nazi party that's very alive and vibrant in Russia. They're very alive there, and they're very alive in that area that they're fighting over near Crimea, you know, like Donetsk. They got a real skinhead issue there. So, what I'm saying is that this is a movement, you know, and I had stopped listening to those people on the radio for a while, you know, like monitor what those folks are doing.
Oh, and by the way, Donetsk in Ukraine?
Yeah.
Coal country. Not saying, just saying.
Wow. That's too much.
And like I said, I was thinking about you when I started talking about the killing in New York, because James Harris Jackson, the murderer who ran his victim through with a sword, was a proud graduate of a Baltimore area Friends school.
Wow.
And I know you've talked about, you know, your educational experiences and everything. How the hell do you get out of Quaker school and decide you're going to go kill you a black guy?
they must have taken him there. Something happened to him because it's the best education you can give your child.
Well, the United States military.
The Obamas sent their kids to a French school.
The United States military is part of what happened to him. He was in Afghanistan as and he was in intelligence. And now, according to some breaking news from NBC that Angry Indian sent along to me, James Harris Jackson intended the killing of Kaufman to be a practice run and was planning on killing more black people in Times Square. Jackson told the Daily News his goal was to force women in interracial relationships to reconsider. He said he hoped to make white women think, well, if that guy feels so strongly about it, maybe I shouldn't do it.
You know, who knows? There's so much. I mean, there's so much because when you're in the military, you sign your body over. They own your body, which is why we've had so many people over the years be subjected to all types of experiments and mind control and drugs and all kinds of things. And so many ways you can go with that. He could just be crazy, but.
Or he could just be a garden variety white supremacist.
Well, yeah. Hey, watch out for those guys.
So I got to ask you with a couple of seconds remaining in the program. Are you going to be glued to the TV for the Final Four? Are you rooting for the?
Oh
cop?
My God!
Is where you live unbearable right now?
These people are wearing these funny hats. It's unbelievable. It's going to be like a big drunk. This whole fucking region is going to be all drunk.
The entire state of South Carolina, except the Clemson fans, are going to be arrested.
Hang in there, man.
All right, we'll talk to you later. See you, Todd.
Okay.
Bye now.
All right.
So we close a little short of the fundraising goal, but hopefully maybe that'll remedy overnight with the via our kind subscribers. Thanks, everybody, for joining in on this More In Monday. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve. Thank you to John Fox and Ben Birch. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And thank you to each and every one of you who spends your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation ongoing these many years. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.